Can y'all hear me? Yeah, okay. I want to thank Kevin for asking me to lead or to share. So right before I was going to do this tonight to get ready for it, one of the women that I sponsor came over and needed to talk. So I hope I have enough here for us tonight. I'll start with my sobriety date, June 22nd, 1987. So just in June, I celebrated 33 years of continuous sobriety. And my first sponsor was Sister Stephanie, and she's definitely the one who got me into steps 1, 2, and 3 when I first got here. And I believe that because of her going through these steps with me so slowly is why I've had the firm foundation that I've had and why I've stayed and I've never found it necessary to go back out. I'm so grateful for that. I believe that these steps have to be taken in order, and that's how my foundation has been set, that I really had to do a thorough step 1 before I could go on to 2 and 3 and so on and so on. So I am going to start with step 1, and I am going to read the long version of that. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. I'm actually just going to read the foreword from the 12 and 12. Who cares to admit complete defeat? Admission of powerlessness is the first step in liberation. Relation of humility to sobriety. Mental obsession plus physical allergy. Why must every AA hit rock bottom? And rock bottom is, for me, what I did hit before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I hit defeat. I hit the point where my life was completely empty. My life had gotten to the point where it was just going to work and coming home and drinking. And that's all I did. And I had started to have to take somebody to AA meetings through my work. And that's where I first met Sister Stephanie. And right from the point that I met her, fortunately, she became my sponsor. She appointed herself. And we did start to work on the steps without me even knowing it, because I didn't really know what the steps were when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I heard them talked about, but I didn't really know what they were. But she started to work on step 1 with me and show me the unmanageability of my life. And I wasn't accountable to anybody for anything. And she made me accountable by making me go to meetings. If I didn't go to a meeting, she was calling me and asking me where I was and why I didn't go to a meeting. So before I got here, before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was trying to do this thing on willpower. Like I was trying to white knuckle it. And I would get up in the morning and I would make a plan for my day. And as soon as I took a drink, all those plans were out the window. And so my life wasn't going anywhere. And when I got here too, I was bankrupt. I was physically bankrupt, emotionally and spiritually bankrupt. I was just empty inside. And I couldn't handle anything. The unmanageability of my life, I couldn't handle anything in my life without drinking. I had to have alcohol to be able to get through life. And it wasn't until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and was given some tools that I was able to start to face life a little bit. A long time before it became manageable. Now, when Stephanie and I worked on steps 1 and 2, they kind of went together. That's why I did 1, 2, and 3 together. And the other thing is, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had the key. I was willing. I mean, that is the key to starting the steps, is you have to be willing. And I had the willingness. I was ready to be teachable. I had reached the point where I knew what I was doing in life wasn't working, and that I was willing to start to look at somebody else and what they had to suggest to me. The other thing that I really believe, I was trying to do this self-help, and that's what I tell a lot of newcomers when they come in, is this is not a self-help program. Trying to do this self-help is what kept me out there so long, because I would try one thing and it wouldn't work, so then I'd try something else, and I kept thinking that I was going to get a different result, and of course we know that I didn't, you know, and things just kept getting worse and worse in my life. So, and I thought I had control over the alcohol. I thought I could control it. I thought I could control my drinking, and my controlled drinking stopped a long time before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. So my step one kind of ran into my step two. So step two for me was that I realized that I couldn't do this on my own anymore. You know, I was failing. It just wasn't working. And I was ready to get some help. And God had put Sister Stephanie in my life. And initially, I used her as my higher power, I'd have to say. And I used the meetings. And I remember one time we were at a meeting, and I was a runner. I'm a runner. So I don't like to face responsibility. You know, I want to run. I want to go around. I don't want to go through. And I remember after a meeting on a Friday night, she said to me, you know, something's got to change in your life. This is where I started to get good orderly direction. This is where I really started to get the step two. You know, that I had to listen to what she had to say, her suggestion, because what I was doing wasn't working. And she said, you've got to change something in your life. Something's going to have to give, because you're making no time for AA meetings at all, and you have to have them. And so you're going to have to figure out how you're going to get to AA meetings. You're not going to be able to run home to your family every weekend like you are now. If you're going to go to school and you're going to work full time, then you're going to have to fit in meetings. So what she helped me to do when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I used to try to tuck AA around my life. Like I would have something that I had going on, and so I would run to a meeting, 5 minutes, I'd get in there before the meeting, and then I'd leave right afterwards. And what happened with that was that I wasn't connecting with people. So I was still trying to do this on my own. But what she helped me to realize is that I had to start to make AA more of an importance in my life. And it meant that I was going to have to start to change some of the things in my life. You know how they say you're going to have to change people, places, and things. And it's not deliberate. It just kind of happens. And so that was like the first suggestion that I started to take from her. And so this, in my step two, the power greater than me at that point became good orderly direction. So it went from Stephanie to the group to good orderly direction. So I was starting to become more open, you know, open-mindedness, willingness. I was starting to become more open. And as I took the suggestions from her, I realized that they were working. And the other thing, too, was step two at this point was she had me praying. And I was brought up Catholic, so I had this higher power in my life. Well, he wasn't really a higher power. He was a God that was up in the sky. That's what I had. And he was very distant. And so I felt like, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, like I was a bad person that was trying to get good. That's all I wanted to do was be good. And that's the way I would pray to God, you know, please just let me be good. I'd get up and I'd say, God, I promise I'm going to be really good today. And then the minute that I would take a drink, that would all go out the window. So the way she had me pray, she kept it very simple. And I believe in the beginning that I needed that. She would tell me to get down on my knees and in the morning to say, help me. And at night to say, thank you. And the other thing was that the desire really wasn't going away from me. I was still craving a drink. I remember, like, I'd be vacuuming and I'd call her and I'd say, I really want a drink. I never drank when I vacuumed. It was like, it was just always on my mind, you know, that I wanted that drink. And I think what that was that I was having a hard time facing life. I was having a hard time living life without a drink. So she had me start to pray for the desire to go away, the desire to be lifted. And it happened for me. I was very blessed that it happened, and it happened fairly quickly for me too. You know, at this point, as I'm doing step one and step two, and now I'm on step two, I am like comparing myself to another woman that came, my friend that came in the program about 6 months after me, and she was ahead of me on the steps. And that's where a sponsor comes into play. I'm like a sponsor thumper. I believe you have to have a sponsor because this is not self-help. You've got to have, I needed somebody that had done the steps before me to show me the way. And, you know, she explained to me that I wasn't ready to go on to step three yet. She had me on step one and two for, I'd say, 4 or 5 months before I went on to step three. And it was because I wasn't ready. I still wanted to keep putting things in my life before this program, before my sobriety. You know, I thought I could still live that same life that I had before and just do it without drinking. And it just wasn't working for me. So she just had me, you know, continue to just keep it simple, to go to a lot of meetings, help me in the morning, thank you at night, pray for the desire to go away. And I struggled with that, and I fought it, you know, I resisted it, but eventually, you know, it became easier for me. And my concept of a higher power started to change. I started to get inside of me, because this recovery thing for me, this sobriety is an inside job. Before I came into AA, I was always reaching for the outside to make me feel better, to make things better. You know, I was always reaching for the clothes, for the house, for the money, for the job, for the car, whatever. I wanted those outside things to make me feel better. And, you know, starting with step one, two, you know, that's where I started to do the work on the inside. And I started to open up a little bit and started to get to know who I was for the first time in my life. And I started to get, when I was doing step two, I started to realize that I wasn't doing this on my own and that I wasn't just doing it on willpower, that there really was something greater than me that was helping me, because it had to be something greater than me to keep me from taking a drink and to be not taking a drink for a matter of a few months when I had drank for so long and that was my only coping mechanism. So I started to get a little bit of a concept of a higher power. It was still God, the God that I had been raised with, but he was a little more close to me. He was a little more personal. And the other thing was that my prayers started to change. You know, I used to have those foxhole prayers, of course, you know, where God, I promise, if you just help me with this, I'll be really good. And I won't drink, and I'll just be really good. So my prayers started to change. And it was more like, God, you know, what do you want for me? You know, what is your will? And, you know, then I would think that if you would show me the way, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and take this step. But if it's not the right way, if you would let me know what the right way is. Like I started to, I don't know if I had a concept yet of my higher power, but I was praying to something. I mean, I knew it was God. And, you know, I had some things happen in early sobriety. And then I think about when I couldn't get pregnant. And, you know, that's all I wanted. And before I came into AA and when I first got here, I always wanted things to go my way and when I wanted them to go. And I wanted them to go, like, fast, like, and also instant gratification. I never wanted to wait for anything. And so with this thing about infertility, what happened was that I started to pray that not only it be his will, but also it be his time, and that it be acceptance. And that was the serenity prayer. And I really started to use the serenity prayer, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can. You know, again, I'm becoming more and more open-minded. I'm becoming more and more willing. And, you know, his time, not mine. You know, just because I think that it was the perfect time, you know, evidently it wasn't God's time. And the only way I know in my life that things happened in God's time exactly the way they were supposed to happen, specifically me coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, is because I can look behind me and see all the things that happened to get me to the point. And that includes having children. You know, I was in this program for 4 years before I got pregnant, and then lost that baby. And then, you know, I have three children. But it was in God's time, because I'm grateful now that I didn't have children when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, that I had the time to get a firm foundation. So it's a process. You know, it's always a process, and it's always changing for me. And it's all about the acceptance. So I got this higher power, and I'm starting to work on my third step. And you know, I'm a lot about my third step too is not getting ahead of myself, you know, not making plans, but not planning the outcome. And Stephanie really helped me with that. You know, I'd be way down the road with things. I came in June, and I'm worried about a high school reunion that's going to happen way later, you know, and, you know, she's just helping me to stay in today, and to keep turning things over to my higher power. And one of my favorite sayings in Alcoholics Anonymous is let go and let God. And, you know, it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of practice for that to happen. And it was very difficult in the beginning, and it's been difficult through the years. Different things that have happened in my life, it hasn't been easy to let go and let God, but it's the easier, it's the softer way. You know, I think about some of the things that I've gone through since I've been in the rooms, you know, the not being able to have children, a divorce, cancer, you know, all those things. And just to turn that over to my higher power. And the other thing too is, I believe, with step three, that as I'm turning it over to my higher power, that God works through the people in my life. You know, he works through all of you, the people in the rooms. And so I know for certain that anything that I go through, I never go through alone. You know, one of the most comforting things when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous was to go to the Alkanon Club and to see that sign up there that said, you are not alone anymore. And there's been different points through the years that it's given me a lot of comfort, you know, after being married 19 years and having a divorce, or, you know, not having any contact with my son, just knowing that I'm not alone. And the other thing too is that knowing that anything that I've ever gone through, there's always somebody who's gone through it in these rooms. And with Stephanie, I think about, you know, she of course was never married and she's a nun. And that's the other thing I thought, what can a nun help me with? You know, she hasn't gone through any of the things I've gone through. But what she did was she would always get me somebody to talk to. You know, if she couldn't help me, she would always get me somebody to talk to. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing about this program too, is that, you know, I used to keep everything inside of me. You know, I wouldn't share it with anybody. I would just keep it inside of me. And just to be able to trust, you know, to trust. I mean, that's another thing about my getting into my step two, you know, that I started to be able to trust that I could open up to Sister Stephanie, to Stephanie, and she wasn't going to share it with anybody. She was going to keep it. I mean, that was wonderful because as an alcoholic and growing up in an alcoholic home, that was a real issue for me, was feeling comfortable with sharing with anybody. Because if any of you grew up in an alcoholic home, you never talked about what was going on inside. And for me as a person and an alcoholic coming from that home, I kept everything inside and I never shared it. So that was very freeing. So I don't know if that's what I was to do, but that is my experience that I share.
Thank you, Maureen. Mm-hmm. So we're going to open this up to our question and answer portion now. So anybody that has a question for Maureen, the best thing to do is just to go ahead and unmute yourself and she'll do her
or
best
discussion.
To respond to you.
Any discussion.
Who wants to start us off?
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm an alcoholic and I'll start.
Hi, Lisa.
Maureen, I really enjoyed it. I loved how you broke down the first three steps. And sometimes I think we don't talk as much about the first and the second, because sometimes when you get into the rooms, you've already thought that you're there. But I thought that you spending more time on it was wonderful. I really liked what you said about the self, that it's not a self-help program. And I identify with what you're saying about not maybe sharing and stuff like that. I can go into the meetings and I can talk and stuff, but sometimes when it's time for me to ask for help, that's really hard. And I'm going to remember what you said about it not being a self-help program and learn to reach out to the people who's always, they've always told me they're there for me. So it's time for me to remember that. Thank you for sharing today, Maureen.
Thanks, Lisa.
Who else has a question for Maureen?
Well, I do then. I have a question for Maureen.
Hi, Leslie.
Alcoholic, and thank you, Maureen. It's not an easy thing to do these meetings, and thank you for being here. And I want to ask you a question about step three.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not sure how Sister Stephanie worked this, but did you, you know, follow through and say the third step prayer together?
Yes.
Or
yes. Okay,
and maybe,
yeah, we did.
Could you describe that? Tell me what that was like. You know, what was the action and what was the feeling that you were left with?
Well, you know, it's, you know, Stephanie, it was kind of different with Stephanie. We did say the third step prayer. She wasn't real formal with the steps with me. I mean, I can't say that we did them perfectly. It was like, I mean, we did say the third step prayer together. She would just kind of tell me when she felt that I was ready to go on to the next step. She would leave me on it for a while. And I mean, I would talk to her every day, you know, and I would tell her what was going on. And I would, what she did was she would try to keep, she tried to give me some balance. So like, I'd be way ahead of myself and she'd remind me about my higher power, you know, that he was in charge and that I had to leave the outcome to him. I mean, it was just like a lot of reminder on a daily basis. But, you know, I can't say when the magic time was that I was ready to go on to step four, like from step one to two to three. I mean, it was Stephanie, I guess. I don't know anybody else have Sister Stephanie, but it was just different. You know, it wasn't like we formally sat down in the book and did the step.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. She really believes that you, as you do the steps, you live the steps.
Hi, Maureen. I'm Judy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Judy.
You know, Maureen, I've known you forever, and I've never, ever heard your story and what you've gone through. So I'm looking forward to this series. I was so glad to hear that you were going to be the person to do it this time. I don't know why I've never heard you, but sounds good so far, and you're doing a good job, and I can't wait to listen to the rest of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Step one, two, and three, you know, of course, I do those every day. I mean, I get up every day and do those steps on a daily basis.
I have another. Oh, go ahead.
Leslie.
No. I was double dipping whoever. Helen, please.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Maureen. Great to hear you tonight. You spoke of a little hesitancy in step two as far as finding your higher power.
Right.
Any hesitancy on one and three? Any reservations you sort of held on to before you were ready to fully commit to those two steps?
Well, I think with not step one, but step three, I think I wanted to keep trying to do it my way. You know, I wasn't ready to totally give it over to my higher power. Like, I wanted to give parts of it, but I didn't want to give it all. And so that was a lot of practice. And I think it took some things happening in my life when I realized that my higher power was there. And his way and his time was the best, that it got easier. But I think step one, no, I was ready. I knew that this was not the way I wanted to live. I was totally ready.
Thanks, Maureen.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, you want double dip?
Well, actually, Helen covered the question I was going to answer anyway. So thanks, Helen. I should have just been more patient.
Speaking of not being patient, I guess I'll ask a couple of questions too.
Yeah, Kevin.
So thanks for agreeing to do this, Maureen. I'm sure we all will appreciate it when it's over as much as you will.
Yeah.
So anyway, you described pretty much how Sister Stephanie took you through the steps and through your experience and stuff. How do you take somebody through step? Do you take them through steps one, two, and three right away? Do you let the, how do you do that when you're working?
I move very slowly with that. I mean, you know, some of the women that I've sponsored were on step one for a really long time. And part of the reason for that is that they go back out, you know. So if they go back out, then I feel like they haven't really done a thorough step one. And, you know, some women that I sponsor had sponsors before me. So we will just, I'll just sit and meet with them. We'll go over the steps. and see where they are, you know, with step one and two. And then we'll spend some time on step three, and we'll use the book to do that. And we'll pray the third step prayer together before we go on to step four and five. But usually, I'd say at least it's a few months.
So that's good. So in other words, when you kind of let them feel their...
Everybody's different. Right. Everybody's different. Yeah. I mean, if they still have a lot of chaos, I mean, I have to make sure they're serious, you know, that they're going to meetings, that they're calling me, and that they're committed before I'm going to commit my time to work with them, you know, because I have a lot of women that I sponsor, a lot of women. And so, and some need more time than others, and I'm willing to give that, but I need to know that you're serious and ready to commit.
That's great. Thank you.
Hey, Maureen, it's Liz. I'm an alcoholic. I've got a question for you if no one else is on board.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hey, okay, so... We know each other a little bit through the Sisters Noon meeting, and you know, I'm working with Leslie, and you just kind of hung up a little bit between steps two and three. And I guess I'm curious of other approaches. I know, I mean, you've given so many examples. I haven't heard one that really is like, oh, okay, that's going to be a manageable approach for me. And then also thinking, once you have a sponsor, or once you yourself were at step three, is it like, okay, you know, I'm making this choice to give myself over, you know, over to the will of a higher power, and then immediately go on to step four? Or did it take some more soul searching and time to figure out?
No, at least for me, I can only speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
It took practice. No, I did not go immediately on to step four. It took practice, and you know, I really believe when you get ready to go on to step four, that you really have to be ready, and you really have to have a higher power in your life, and you really have to know that you have the disease of alcoholism, and that you are not a bad person trying to get good, because I've seen where people do the fourth step too soon, and they go back out, you know. So you have I had to have a real understanding of a higher power, and that I felt comfortable to go to that higher power before I was ready to go to step four.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Hi, Rena Alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
Hi, Maureen. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. And my question is when you're dealing with a really hard problem and you turn it over and then you take it back, how do you handle that when you keep taking it back?
Well, I stay in pain. You know, I stay in pain. So until the pain gets great enough, or until I finally ask for help, because part of the reason I keep taking it back is because I think I know what's best for me. Even though word-wise, I'm saying to my higher power, I'm giving it all to you. I'm really not giving it all to you. I'm still holding on to it. So until it becomes... the pain becomes so great, or if I pray to my higher power for his will, or to let happen what's supposed to happen, sometimes if I hold on to that too long, the lesson's going to be pretty painful before I'm finally ready to give it up. So, you know, through practice, I find, and through experience, that it saves me a lot if I just end up, you know, doing what I think is God's will right from the start, instead of I save myself a lot of pain. one thing I read in the 12 and 12 that is so important is that this whole thing about step one and two, and especially step three, is that we're trying to come into an agreement with what is God's will. And once we finally figure that out, what God's will is in our life and for our recovery, then we're ready to start moving on to the next steps. So that's the struggle, you know, but God, this is my will, but this is what I want for you. And for me, you know, before I came into AA, everything was about instant gratification. I didn't want to wait for anything. I wanted everything to be like right away. And I'm experiencing that right now in our life with our swimming pool that we're putting in that we thought would be in like last week, and it's probably going to be in next week.
Hi, Maureen. I'm John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
I don't have a question, but I just want to say thanks for speaking tonight. You know, I really learned something about the first three steps again, and you did a good job, and I wasn't going to come to this meeting, but I thought to myself, you know, this meeting is going to be more important than what I was going to do, so I'm going to attend this meeting, and I'm glad I did. I got to hear you, and things are going well today, so thank you.
Thanks, John. I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too.
Yeah.
I'm Amy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. Thanks for sharing. I don't think I've ever heard your lead before either, and it seems like we have a lot more in common than I thought. So you said you started with Sister Stephanie, and I always like hearing about how people do steps, you know, because I know a lot of sponsors do them differently. How many sponsors have you done steps one, two, and three?
How many sponsors have I had?
Well, have you done steps one, two, and three with, and were they mostly the same, or did you did different sponsors do them differently, or was it mostly the same for you?
Well, I've had four sponsors. Beverly is my current sponsor, and I've had her for a lot of years. And I had another sponsor, and then my third sponsor, Nancy Weber, was my sponsor when I was going through a divorce. And Nancy lives the third step. She lives it. I mean, she has it down to a T. And I believe that God puts people in our lives. Beverly teaches me this. Mm-hmm. God puts people in our lives right at the right time. And so for the other people, like Stephanie, I told you how I did it. Really, when I switched sponsors from Stephanie, I already had 12 years sober. So it was just a review of the steps. But when I had Nancy and I was going through this divorce, she was in my life at a perfect time, because on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day, I would be calling her and she would talk to me. She would talk to me about the third step, or I would call her and I'd say, just tell me about the third step, you know, and she spoon-fed me, and mostly she would just share her experience with me of things that she had gone through, and then she would encourage me and remind me, and I would just keep turning it over and turning it over.
Thank you.
Was I on mute?
You were.
All right. Well, I've been talking for like 30 seconds. Well, if there's nobody else, then Maureen, thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
I know we all appreciated the experience that you shared with us on steps 1, 2, and 3. And next week, everybody's invited back. And I know we're looking forward to hearing about steps 4 and 5.